Good morning. That is a good song to kick off the new year, right? Happy New Year. Welcome to New Life Church. If this is your first time with us, we are thrilled to have you here. And for everyone, it is great to be together. If you are a Michigan fan, what a new year, right? Wow, that's it. Harbaugh would be bummed. 10th win of the season, Citrus Bowl. First bowl in 4 years. Last time we were there, we scored 14 points. We turned it around, 41. Gives you a sense of optimism for the season. If you're a Spartan fan, congratulations on making it to the championship series, the playoffs. You did beat us this year. That was great. The one redeeming thought I had for you is at least you can say, because it was New Year's Eve, that game happened last year. So, football aside, I hope you've all had a great Christmas, a new year. Students in the room, we may have some younger ones with us today, elementary, middle school, high school, college students. Anyone? Raise your hand. Awesome. Has it been a good break? I hope it hasn't gone too fast. For me, it has felt like these last 2 weeks have flown, which I know as a student, that was like the worst because you go back to school this week. So I'm praying for all of you students that today feels like it just lasts forever. And it was great. A great end to this break for you. And we're excited that you're with us, everyone here, young and old, because this message is for all ages. So if you are younger in the audience today and you're thinking, I'm just buying time, waiting to get home to play with my new video game or whatever you got for Christmas, I encourage you actually listen in. See if God might have something for you here this morning. Kickstarter is a series designed to help you kickstart your spiritual life this year. Specifically, we're going to be looking at how a small step in your faith at the beginning of the year could kickstart your spiritual growth for the entire year to come. And as we do it, it will highlight the power of one step in your life. The name of the series comes from a business by the same name called Kickstarter. It's a global crowdfunding platform focused on creativity where people and artists put up their creative ideas and then others support those ideas to help them become reality. They often do this through funding or finances. And we don't have the numbers for 2015, but I wanted to share what happened in 2014 with them. 3.3 million people gave from almost every country on the planet. They pledged nearly $500 million, $1,000 per minute for a year straight. 22,000 projects came to life, and Time Magazine ended up naming five of them in their 25 top inventions of 2014. Powerful what happens. And their mission is to help bring creative projects to life. And we couldn't help but see a correlation between their mission and what Christ came to do, which he said in John 10:10, that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God came to help bring created people to life. He created all of us. He has made us. He wants us to have full life in him. And that's what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so that none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. You're God's masterpiece for those who have chosen to follow and believe. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. In the Old Testament, the Lord spoke of his people this way. He said, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. We are his masterpiece. We are the work that he is doing, that he is creating anew. And if you think about it, clay, it doesn't do anything. It just sits there. But it, as it becomes soft and malleable, the artist can shape it into what he wants and desires, and it's beautiful. He's a creative God that came to make everything beautiful in our lives and to make us beautiful in him. We are his masterpiece. And yet for many of us, we don't feel like a masterpiece of God's creation. We can feel stagnant or plateaued in our faith. We struggle to make time with God or to read the Bible. We struggle to believe what he says in the word. Sometimes we may even struggle to believe at all. We struggle to honor our parents. We struggle to love our neighbors well, let alone love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We can't remember the last time we shared the gospel with someone. We struggle to make it to church and worship with other Christ followers. For some of you here today, it may have been years since you've stepped foot inside a church. And it's fantastic that each and every one of us are here together. Because no matter where we struggle or how we struggle in our spirituality, we're all on the same journey in life. We're all living this out before the same God who loves us and sent his son for us to make a way and to make things beautiful. And what we need this year is not a new resolution in our spiritual journey where we bite off more than we can chew or get overwhelmed almost as soon as we start, which many people do with New Year's resolutions. We just need a simple kickstart, a simple step that we can take that can have a disproportionate effect and impact on our spiritual growth for the entire year. And that's what the series is about, identifying the one spiritual thing that you believe God wants you to put into practice or to take this January that can make a difference for all of 2016. And we're doing this now because we want it to be the best year of your spiritual growth that you've ever had. And so before we dive in, let me pray for this. Lord, I thank you that you came, Lord, that's what we just celebrated, Christmas, Lord. It's solidarity with us, that you came to stand with us, to be with us, to make a way. Lord, we thank you for the new year, for new starts, for fresh beginnings. Lord, we thank you for all that you've already done in our lives. Lord, and we look for this year with anticipation of what you're going to do. Lord, I pray that we would have an open heart, an open mind, and an open ear to hear what you have to say to us today. Lord, may we hear your voice personally, whether it be through something I say or through your scripture, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would reveal very clearly what you want us to take a step of faith in today. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So if this series is going to make any difference in your life, you're going to need to respond and engage with it. And there's two responses we want you to have, both of which will make it extremely practical and fruitful in your life. And both are rooted in scripture. The first is Philippians 1:6. It says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day of Christ Jesus' return." So he's the artist. He's the one doing it. The first response is just to join him in that work. This isn't for you to step out and all of a sudden I got to do this new thing. It's he's already doing this. You're just joining him in what he wants to do. Instead of being dry, moldy clay that's kind of resistant to the artist's hands, you're choosing to be soft and malleable, choosing to join him in what he's going to do in his ways. And you know what the best part of following Jesus is? You get Jesus. That's the best part. The beauty of walking with Jesus is that you get him. And time with him is better than anything this world has to offer. The second response is tied to our theme verse this year, which comes from Hebrews, about having confidence in him and having faith and hope and love. And that last one that flows into verse 25, which says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The second one is encourage each other. So here's the steps. Follow Jesus and encourage others. Those are the responses we want you to have in this series, that you're going to be willing and commit to following Jesus and what he says to you and encourage others. Sequoia trees, anyone know of them? Anyone seen them? Enormous trees in California. Huge, the biggest ones you can have. And the crazy thing is their strength, they can't reach their full potential and height unless they're in a forest of other sequoias. They need the root systems to help them stand tall. If it was on its own, it would eventually grow so big it would just fall over. And there's part of us that needs that in this, that as we follow Jesus, that God has great things planned for us. And we can't even reach our full potential or what God desires for us unless we're living it with each other, encouraging one another to keep going, to stay in the fight. And if we're collectively committed to these two actions as a church, I believe we're going to see God do incredible things in our midst this year. Things that will blow us away. People breaking free from bondage and addictions. People finding healing physically and emotionally. I believe we're going to see miracles in our midst. We're going to see lives transformed. And we'll look back at this year and we'll go, "That seemed impossible, and yet God did it. God did it, and we got to be a part of it." So these are the responses. Will you commit to following Jesus and encouraging others? Specifically, here's how this is going to play out with this series. Kickstarter, we're going to have 4 weeks. Kickstart faith, kickstart hope, kickstart love, kickstart generosity. And Kickstarter, the way it works is a creative artist or someone puts up what they want to do, their idea, what their step is. And then everyone else joins together and encourages. And they put up what they need or what their project is, and then they share that. And so the way we're going to do that is to name your step which is about following Jesus. What do you feel like God's calling you to do? Name your step and follow Jesus, and then share your step and encourage others. And that doesn't mean get on and you have to share it with everyone, but in your community of faith, your small group, your D group, your home group, whatever it is, name it and share it. Because when you name it, there's power in it. And when you share it, you have the encouragement and support to go after it. People have found, studies have been done, that people who write down these things have an 80% chance greater of achieving them. And that's what we want, to be people that are stepping out in faith. Maybe it's a step of faith, a step towards hope, a step towards love or generosity. Maybe it's going to be a step in all of these. We just want you to engage with God and respond in these two things. What is he calling you to follow him in? And then share and encourage others. So as a church, with this as a plan, let's look at kickstarting our faith this morning. And I want you to keep an open heart as we dive into this. And to do this, we're going to be looking at the life of one of the most faith-filled followers of Christ in the Bible, the Apostle Peter, who also has the name Simon before he really began following Christ. So Simon Peter, it's the same guy if the verse says either one with this. And I want to share a little bit about his life real quick, some recap. Some of you know this. Peter was first among the disciples to call Jesus the Son of Living God. He was the first one to see it, that Jesus is the Messiah. He saw Jesus perform many miracles firsthand. He was on the mountain with James and John when Jesus was transfigured before their eyes, and he got to see Jesus in all his glory right there. One time Jesus said, go pay taxes. Here's what you're going to do. Go catch a fish. Open its mouth and you're going to find a coin, and that'll be enough to pay for our taxes. Peter goes and catches a fish, a skill he has, and what's he find? A coin. Unbelievable things that he experienced. We know he walked on water, not frozen, mind you, actual water. And then after Jesus died and rose from the dead, Peter preached to thousands at Pentecost, and 3,000 people believed and placed their faith in Christ and followed him that day. Peter healed the next day a lame man who had been lame from birth, completely healed him. Another time, two people had sold a field, a husband and wife, and came and brought the money to the church. And they said, this is everything, but they held some back. And Peter said, You're not lying to me. You're lying to God. And both of them fell dead before him. Crazy stuff that happened in front of Peter. He received one time a vision that the message of what Christ had done was not just for the Jews, it was for the Gentiles. And at the same time, an angel had appeared to a Roman, showed up at his doorstep, and God told him to go with him. He goes, and he preaches the message of the good news of what Jesus has done. And the whole household believes that this message wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the whole world. And Peter was also imprisoned. And on the eve of his execution, the day before they had killed James, on the eve of his execution, an angel came to him in an inner cell where he's guarded by almost a dozen soldiers. His chains just fall to the ground. The angel tells him to rise, and he walks him straight out of the jail cell into the center of town, and the angel goes away. And Peter could hardly believe this just happened. Incredible experiences that Peter had, a man of amazing faith, and yet he was human, and he had faults, just like all of us, which I think is why he's so relatable, at least for me, because he also put his foot in his mouth so many times, had to be rebuked by Jesus. He walked on water, but he began to sink because he began to fear the waves and the storm. At the end of Jesus' life, he denied knowing Jesus three times, even to a little girl, because of fear of what might happen to himself. He was confused at the resurrection. He even, when he heard about it, he ran to the tomb and he looked in it. And seeing it empty, it says he went away and wondered. Even though Jesus had told him this was going to happen and that he would rise from the dead. And after years of preaching and teaching about Jesus in Jerusalem, Paul shows up one time and has to rebuke him publicly in front of everyone. Because Peter has begun to succumb to the challenge of the social pressures. And he's avoiding the Gentiles and just hanging with the Jews. He was human. He had struggles. He missed the mark often. But he had incredible faith, and God used him mightily in his kingdom. Just think of all that we learn from Peter's interactions with Jesus, from all of his leadership in the early church, and even from his writings, the two letters he has in the Bible. Amazing journey, but it all began with a single step. One simple step of faith that in Christ forever changed the trajectory of his life. And that's the story I want to look at this morning. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 5, or if you have it on your phone, or if you don't own a Bible, we'd love for you to have a free one when you leave. You can grab one at the info center. And Luke chapter 5, the story picks up. Jesus has been teaching at this point. His ministry has begun, and he's by the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching everyone, and the crowds begin to press in on him. And so as he's walking along, he sees a boat near the shore, and he climbs into it, and he says to the owner, which is Simon Peter, he says, "Push me out a little." So Jesus is in this boat, and he floats back from the shore. So the crowd can't get to him, and he teaches. And it doesn't say what he said or how long he went, but he taught. And I'm sure that the fishermen right there were hanging on every word. Have you ever been working, and all of a sudden you're hearing something, and you realize you're not working anymore? Right? I bet you that's what happened with these, with Peter in this moment. I bet you he was just holding the net, but just staring and listening. And as soon as he finishes, it says, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." So this is Jesus turning to Peter and talking to him. And Peter's response, it says, "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this is such a great challenge for us today. If you say so. And look at Peter's response. He says, "I will let down the nets. If you say so, I will obey." And a lot of people come to me and they say, "I want to hear from God," or I want to know his voice. What am I to do in this? What am I to do with my life? Where am I to go? And it's honestly, when you look at what Jesus does when he talks to people, I think we want that, but there's part of us that I don't know if we do. Because as much as we say we want to hear it, when he talks, it means we may have do-overs. We may mean we get to go try it again. It may mean that you've worked hard and you get to go work some more. It may mean that though you're tired and you want to rest, you get to give more or to serve more or to go help others more. I think we like the idea of him speaking to us, but sometimes we fear what he might actually say or ask of us. That's why a lot of people even avoid Jesus. And it comes in a lot of different ways. People say, "I'm not going to go to church. There's hypocrisy there. I don't want to be around the church offering plates." And this is all just a ploy, because deep down, well, the real matter of our heart is our own will, and it's our struggle. That was my struggle. I was stubborn. I was a believer who turned away from God when he put a call on my life and he said, "I want you to go into ministry." I was 14 years old, and I thought, "You're crazy. No way." I ran for him for 5 years. For half a decade. And there's people here today that have been running longer than that. Some of you that might be feeling like you're running right now. And the crazy thing is, you can't run from God. You cannot get away from him. And after 5 years of running myself, I finally came to a place where I was like, "Peter, if you say so." And what's interesting is that statement can be so powerful. It can be reluctant, like it was with me and with Peter. "If you say so, I'll do it." We don't really believe. We're like, "Well, maybe." Or it could be very powerful that you say, "If you say so, I'm in. I'm with you 100%. And I think what God wants us to see happen is us go from this reluctance, "If you say so," to an absolute faith, "If you say so, I'm in." Just say the word, "I'm in." And the beauty of God is he is gracious, he's faithful, he waits for us. Now, I'm not sure what it might be for you. For me, I felt that call in my life to vocational ministry, and I ran. Whatever it is in your life, will you say to him today, "If you say so"? Even if it's reluctant, will you just relent and choose to follow and obey? Because these moments of surrender and trust and faith, even reluctantly or hesitantly, are the finest moments in your life. Your finest hours in life are when you step out in faith to follow Jesus. Think about it. Think about all the people, Noah, who stepped out and built a boat. Or think of Joseph, who was sold in slavery but never turned his back on God. Or Moses, at the ripe young age of 80, stepped back into Egypt. Yes, it is funny. He tried at 40 on his own. God came back when he was 80. Or Ruth, who stayed with Naomi and pursued Boaz. Or David, who heard Goliath and then told the king, I will fight him, and then actually had to go do it. The first step of faith was just saying he would take him. He would fight him. Or Queen Esther, who 2 times entered Xerxes' presence when it meant she could be killed instantly. Stepping out in faith, even in small ways, can be your finest moments. And that's your story if you're a Christ follower. The moment you placed your faith in him was one of your finest moments in life. Of stepping out and trusting him. It's so powerful. And what I want you to see is what Peter does in this story. Because he says, I'll let down the nets if you say so. And this time, the nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. And a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish and verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish that he had caught, as were the others with him. His partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. He reluctantly obeyed Jesus, and in doing so, experienced God's goodness and grace in an utterly overwhelming way. Both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. And what's interesting is sometimes in life, we can be on the verge of sinking because of our own destructive choices and behaviors, and it can lead us to brokenness. But it is something entirely different to be on the verge of sinking because of God's overwhelming goodness and love made tangible in your life. That leads you to a brokenness on your knees before God, just like Peter. I don't know what he's asking of you in this season, in this year, in this month. What is the one small step he wants you to take in faith? Just one. Is it to finally place your faith in Christ and choose to follow him? Perhaps it's to be baptized. We have a baptism coming up in February, February 21st. Maybe it's making a commitment saying, I'm going to do it. That outward act of an inward change of heart. Perhaps it's reading his word, believing the promises that he said to you. Maybe it's just actually spending time with him. Just yesterday, my son was in the kitchen and he wanted a cup of water. He had a cup and he was saying, wah, 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 wah. And I had a gallon jug on the counter and I pulled it and I poured it. And as I'm pouring it, as soon as he saw there was enough to drink, he took it to his mouth and began to sip while my water is going all over the floor. And in that moment, I stopped, and then I felt like the Lord said, my children do that to me all the time. I'm willing to give them so much more, but they don't take the time. As soon as you get a sip, you take it. Thanks, God. Gone. He wants to meet our needs and be with us. Maybe it's to just believe in him. Not just believe in him, but to actually follow him and obey. Maybe it's your identity, to find it in him and not in your job or accomplishments or what other people say. Maybe it's to take a step of faith and trust him with your brokenness. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's in serving, stepping up and leading and serving other people. Maybe he's calling you to forgive. Maybe it's even your vocation to truly step out in faith and follow him into a new path. Whatever it is, here's my challenge. Name your step and follow Jesus and share your step and encourage others. Name your step and share it. Here's the reason why. When you write it down, you can go back to it. You can look at it. You can firm up that resolve in yourself to do it. And if you share it with others, you can have people encouraging you to do it. When we stepped into Ann Arbor and we felt called to the city, my wife and I, we walked away from job situations, job opportunities. When we felt called to New Life Church, we stepped away from other church plant offers that I had, one with friends, one with my brother on the other side of the state. It was tough. And we went back to what we wrote down and what we felt God called us to step out in faith in. And what's awesome is these last 7 years, leaving behind career, family, and opportunities, the journey of faith here in this church, we wouldn't trade for the world. It's been awesome. We love all of you. We love what God is doing through New Life Church and the campus and the city, what's happening at EMU, what's going on in Detroit, and what God's going to do throughout Michigan as this vision continues to unfold. And it all goes back for me to a simple small step of when I stepped out as a freshman in college and said, all right, if you say so. I don't see why you want me, God, but if you say so, and I'll follow. And every day it's been a little simple step, spending time with God, getting in his word. And it adds up over time. And it's incredible what God can do if we're willing to take small, simple steps. And along the way, we've had a lot of fears, a lot of doubts, a lot of anxiety. And this is why it's so important to write it down, because you can go back to it. You can firm up your resolve. And what I want you to hear is if you have any fears or doubts towards taking a step of faith with God, listen to how this story ends. Because Peter has already said, leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. And Jesus responds to Simon, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out in faith with whatever God's calling you to step out in. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. And the question to you is, have you landed? Are you still in the boat, in your comfort zone, your career, whatever it is, out in the water? Or are you willing to come ashore and follow what Christ is asking you to follow? They stepped out and they followed Jesus. And it's just what we said in the beginning in Ephesians chapter 2, where he said, you're his masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that God can do good things he planned long ago. He's got plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, for good, a future he wants to give you and walk with you. And what's awesome is that as Peter stepped out that day, it set him on a trajectory that forever changed his life. And that we, even here today, 2,000 years later, are reaping the benefits of Peter's life of faith. We see him in his scripture. We're inspired by him. We get to hear the stories, the questions he asked Jesus, what he wrote in the letters. We have no idea. You have no idea how much your life, a little step of faith, can impact. Because a little step of faith in God has immeasurable power. Why? Because it's God who is inviting you to take that, and he is a God of infinite and immeasurable power. He can use the simplest step in a profound way. And what I really want us to do is to change from just reluctantly, if you say so, to doing what Peter did at the end of Jesus' life. When Jesus has risen from the dead, he went back to the Sea of Galilee. He found them. They're back in the boat. They're fishing. And he comes up to them and he says, he waves, he says, hey, cast your net on the other side. They do. They get the same haul of fish. And in that moment, Peter knows this is not just a man on shore, this is Jesus on shore. And he has called me to follow him. And what does Peter do? Does he wait till the boat gets back? He dives in and swims ahead of the boat to get to shore. He has gone from that passive, if you say so, to, if you say so, it's you, I'm in. I'm there. He swims ashore. And the crazy thing that you need to hear is when he walks after this meal, he's walking. Jesus is walking with Peter, and Jesus says to him this. He says, follow me. And he says this right after he tells him, you're going to die a death, but you're going to glorify me through this death. And in that, he says, even with that, the suffering that's to come, follow me. And then Peter turns, and there was the apostle John is following him. And he says, well, what about him? And then Jesus says this to him. He says, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. As for you, it's individual. It's for you. Will you follow him, regardless of what happens around you? Will you follow him? What step of faith is God inviting you to take with him today? In 2016, in January, will you name your step and follow Jesus? And will you share your step and encourage others? Because as we do this, it will be set us up for an amazing year, individually in your spiritual growth as a church, and we're going to see God do incredible things. It is scary, but we have an amazing God who wants to walk this journey with us. I encourage you, let him lead your life and come to the place where you say, if you say so, I'm in. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you
for the life of Peter. Lord, I thank you that you called this fisherman who wasn't well-learned or wasn't an amazing scholar, Lord, that he was just a simple man, Lord, that who put his foot in his mouth and who made mistakes, who had doubts and fears, and Lord, but you used him mightily. Lord, I thank you for his example. I pray that each and every one of us this year, in this month, even this week, Lord, that we would hear your voice, that we would feel your direction to take a step of faith, Lord, and that we would follow. Lord, that we would come to a place of saying, if you say so, then I'm in. I'll do it. Lord, I pray that we could be an encouragement to one another as a church, Lord, that as we hear one another share what it is we feel you calling us to take a step in, Lord, that we would say, that's awesome. What do you need? How can I encourage you, Lord? Because we need each other to stay in this, Lord. And I pray that 2016, Lord, that we would see more growth in our own lives and as a church than we ever have before. Not numerically, Lord, but just emotionally, physically, Lord, in all these different ways, Lord, that we would just see you do profound work in our midst, Lord, and that we could see the masterpiece that you desire coming out in all of us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.